Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making it possible for us to be here together today. We miss those that are not here, but as we've been saying, even all day today, and as the song I just said, we're going to choose to trust you. Thank you for all that you have already done and all that you have yet to do that we don't yet see. Mm-hmm. Lord, open our hearts to hear the word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to imagine something with me today. Imagine that you're maybe out on your front porch or something, and you see a little child playing out in the middle of the track. What if it's your child? What are you going to do?
Run
out there and try to get him, right?
Right.
What if it's somebody else's child?
Run out there.
You're going to run out there and try to get him, exactly.
Right.
Somebody you don't even know?
Still going out there.
What if it's somebody's kid that you don't particularly like?
You still run out there.
You still going to run out there, right. And how would you feel about anybody who didn't do that?
Pretty bad.
All right, now let's change the scenario a little bit. Let's make it a grown-up who is about to cross the street and unaware that there's some kind of there's a car coming.
Go out there and tell them.
Why are they unaware? Is something blocking their view? Is something in the way they don't see? Maybe they're actually blind. Maybe they're just not paying attention. Or maybe they're texting on their phone. Mm. Does it change the way we think a little bit? Maybe they're jaywalking. Or maybe they're walking against the light. Does it change anything? And who is it? Is it somebody who appears to obviously be vulnerable? For whatever reason, maybe they're in a wheelchair, maybe they can't see, maybe they're just something about it makes you think that they need a little extra help. Or what if it's somebody that's attractive, good looking, man or woman, doesn't matter.
Go out there.
Or maybe it does, but you're probably gonna. What if they're different color? What if they look, they're got up like a gangster. Look like if you say the wrong thing, they'll turn around and shoot you. Does it change anything? What if they got a Muslim head covering on? Does it change anything? How would you react? How would any of us react? I'd like to hope we'd all try to stop whatever's about to happen. And what would you think of anybody who didn't? Or worse, even maybe got out their cell phone and started filming. But there are less obvious threats. Okay, let's change the scenario again. This time we're at a buffet. But we have learned somehow that we've come into knowledge somehow that one of the people who's working there is a terrorist and they've poisoned everything in that line. Some of the food is healthy, some of it's not healthy. What do you do? Do you quietly hope that somebody else is going to say something? Do you watch the people and pick out the ones you like and let them know? Do you base your decision on whether or not they pick the healthy food? No. Hopefully not.
Mm-mm. Just leave.
Folks, sin is the same way. What do we know about sin as those who have been exposed to God's Word? What do we know about sin? We know that it often appeals to our flesh. It often looks good, like that buffet. But its consequence is deadly. Romans 6:23, we all know it, right? The wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily immediate, but it's still going to happen. But there is an antidote, and we know what it is. We have the solution. What have we done with this knowledge? Have we kept quiet? Maybe we're afraid that somebody is going to ridicule us or persecute us in some way. Maybe we think, well, they're not going to listen anyway, so why waste my breath? I know people like that.
I do too.
Well, maybe we just don't care. If we give the warning, it may be ignored. And it might even result in some kind of negative consequence for us. We may actually endure some persecution. Not as likely here, but it's getting more likely than it used to be.
That's right.
But just maybe, we say something. I mean, Jesus himself said that most people are going to take the wide path. But just maybe, you're going to be the person that talks to the right person and they turn away. But at least we know whether they turn or whether they don't turn, we know that we've done all that we can.
Amen.
I was thinking about this week, and this scripture came to mind. You may have read it before. It's out of Ezekiel chapter 3. God is speaking to the prophet. He's giving a commission. And part of what he says to him, we find in chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, but you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live. That wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, or from his wicked way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when the righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he will die in his sin, and his righteous deeds, which he has done, will not be remembered. But his blood will I require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man, that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you have preserved yourself. I want to step back here and give a little and provide a little bit of context. It's always important. God's speaking here in a specific situation to a specific person, the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel means strengthened by God. And certainly he will be through this. He is a priest that's been commissioned by God to warn the people of Israel, who are at this point already in exile. They have been conquered by Babylon. They've been taken to a place in Babylon, and he is there with them in exile. And he has this vision. He's just had this vision that is very much like what you read in Revelation, in the book the disciple John had, with the living creatures around the throne room and the scroll that he eats a little bit later on, and it's sweet, but then the message is bitter.
Right.
But he's given this commission. He says, you hear my word and take it, speak it to the people. And they're not going to listen. He says that they're not going to listen. He says, look, I'm not asking you to go speak to foreigners. I'm not asking you to go speak to people who don't know your language. These are your own people with the customs and habits that you know. I'm asking you to speak to them. Just like the people around us. He's there among the exiles. It says he's there for 7 days if you read a few verses back. And he remains silent. Now, there is a normal process of grieving that they may have been going through there. And that might have been why he was silent. It depends. Different translations read a little bit differently as far as what's happening there. But just, I wonder, and this is just speculation, but I wonder if then what God is saying to him here that we just read doesn't have something to do with the fact that he's been there for 7 days and he still hasn't spoken up. I don't know. But God speaks again. And he says, I have appointed you a watchman. We don't, of course, we understand watchmen. We still have security guards and whatnot. But the watchman's position was very important during that time because you had the walled cities and you had raiders on the outside that would try to come in and take over the city. You might have an opposing army come in. So that watchman's job was extremely important. He's to be there on the wall of the city as a lookout. He's watching for incoming danger. His job is to warn the city if he sees anything coming. But if he's not watching, the city might get invaded. If he's not watching, people's possessions are going to be taken. If he's not watching, the city might be conquered and destroyed. And people might be abused and even killed. That's the context here. It sounds like an easy job. I mean, all you got to do is sit there and watch, right? But it's typically you need it at night. There's people up and around the day, so it's at night when you're doing this. And, you know, the night gets long, and you're used to sleeping at night. And you can't see very well, and it's quiet, and you know, most of the time, 99.9% of the time, nothing's happening.
Right.
But you've got to stay alert. Now, Ezekiel's challenge differs in this in some ways. God's going to give him the words. He doesn't have to wonder what he's going to say. God's going to give him the words to say. But the people, unlike the people that the watchman warns, the people are going to be hostile to the message. They're not going to receive it. He's already warned them of that ahead of time. But the commission is, you've got to tell them what I'm telling you. You've got to warn them. I'm giving you the word. I'm putting it in your mouth. You've got to warn. Not just the wicked, but also the righteous, that they don't fall away. And when they do, when they won't listen, he says they're going to die in their iniquity. But if you have, if they do that, if they don't listen, but you've warned them, then you're not responsible. You've done all you can do.
Amen.
But somebody out there might listen. And that the warning is not only for those who are living in sin, but for those who are, for the moment, walking rightly, who may stray from the path. If he does not warn them, they're still going to suffer the consequences of their actions because their actions are still, it is still a just thing for God to respond to the sin with judgment. But the warning here is that I'm not going to hold you responsible because you didn't tell them. words of caution here whenever we're reading any part of the Bible, but I would say almost particularly with the Old Testament, because I see more people taking things out of context, both good and bad, from the Old Testament than from the New. I don't know if I can really say that or not. It just seems that way to me from what I've heard. But we always need to be aware, particularly with these prophecies, that God is speaking to the nation of Israel, or to this particular prophet. He's giving them a message for the time. And we ought to be able, we ought to consider carefully the context. These instructions were for Ezekiel. Yet, it does reveal the truth. It does reveal truth, as all of the scripture does, about who God is and about what he considers to be justice. So you might look at this and think, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is God unjust here? It's a reasonable question. You're telling me if I don't, you're telling me if I mess up, you're going to punish him? But that isn't really what he's saying here. I mean, if God was ever unjust at any time, anywhere, then it calls into question his character forever. But he is not. He is always a just God. And in fact, justice demands a consequence for sin. He is not required to spare any of us. We're all under condemnation. Except for what he did to change that.
Amen.
The guilty are guilty regardless of whether anyone warns them or not. But God's justice also applies to those of us who have been given the truth. And we are equally guilty when we do not share the truth that we've been given. And there's nothing in this scripture that says that those who would turn would not ever get a warning. And all of these people to whom he is speaking have already been given God's law. This is Israel that we're speaking with here. Everyone should have already had all of this burned into them from the time they were children. It's not like anyone here should have had any reason to be unaware of how they were supposed to live. What about us? We have his word. Certainly in the written form, in the form of the Bible that we all have. But to some degree, we also have that personal revelation. At a very minimum, we have that personal revelation that brought us to saving faith. So that we finally came to the conclusion that I need Jesus. I need a relationship with the Lord. I can't do this on my own. I've got sin. Lord, I need forgiveness. We have at least that much if we have nothing else. If we believe it, then we know that the wages of sin is death, just like the Bible says. And we know that the gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
And we know people who are pursuing the wrong end. We know people who are pursuing death. Do we not bear some responsibility if we do nothing about that? And most of us are not going to be sent to foreign lands. Some of us may be. But there are people all around us. They speak our same language. They have, for the most part, our same customs. Not as true as it used to be. We're a little more mixed up than we used to be. But there are people all around us that the only thing that's keeping us from sharing the message It's not opening our mouths. All that remains for us to do is to speak the truth.
Amen.
They may not listen. They may even actively oppose us. We're seeing more and more of that. But our conscience then will be clear. You know, why this all came into my head today, or this past week, is that I became aware of somebody who died. And one would reasonably conclude from the lifestyle that they lived that they probably did not have a relationship with Jesus. No way to know that for sure. They had been exposed to church, maybe even been a part of the church, but just what little I knew, there was at least a likelihood that they never really connected with Jesus. I didn't know they were going to die, but I knew that it was a possibility. I don't know the final state of that person's heart, but I know that I didn't do anything, I didn't say anything, and I haven't been able to think about anything else. What has happened, and God is merciful and forgiving, and when we repent, He is certainly able to wash even that away. He is certainly able to forgive us. After all, isn't it the forgiveness that we're sharing? So certainly, if we have failed in this area, God is able and willing to forgive us when we repent. So I will repent and I will take up the challenge again. And this is something that we've all got to do. Folks, it's the most important thing that you know. Nothing else that you know, no matter how smart you are, is as important as this one thing, that we all need Jesus. Let us not miss those opportunities that are put before us to make sure that we have at least tried to the best of our ability to bring everybody who will come into His family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness, because we all need it. Everyone here, everyone that has ever lived, needs your forgiveness. And you provided it. You made a way for all of us. Lord, help us as we go forward from this place, that we will always be aware and always be ready to share the truth, to stop that death from happening, to turn it into life. In Jesus' name, amen.